We spent the weekend feeding USAID into the wood chipper. Could have gone to some great parties, did that instead. I mean, you know, put aside the 10,000 people who work there. This is an organization that distributes food aid and medical aid in the billions. What does this all mean, Eugene? Untrammeled power?
Essentially, right? You know, I was at the press conference today with the Japanese Prime Minister and Trump, and he was asked about Doge. He was asked about Elon Musk. And
Doge being the Department of Government Efficiency, which is a real...
It's not a government agency, but it is some kind of group that is getting the keys to the kingdom to right. go around into these different agencies, kind of rifle through things and seemingly do whatever they want. And the question was to him, to President Trump, is there anything that you're telling Elon Musk not to do? Is there a line that you're telling him not to cross, something to for him to not go into? He basically said no. He said, I'm telling him to go. You know, we are, he said, a government and we should be open and all of those things should happen. And when it comes to intel, maybe he said, I will get into it. But other than that, he is allowing a long leash for Elon Musk and all of the seemingly young people who are working for him to be able to do that. That is something that is extremely abnormal. And I think a lot of people in this country never thought would happen, even when Trump talked about Doge. And it's another one of those things. The conversation started and now it's actually
happening.
It started as a joke. Sandy Rios with you. Doge started as a joke. Well, maybe not so much. Maybe it was a joke to them, but not a joke to us. So much is happening. Did you notice? They're finding all of this waste, fraud, and abuse in so many agencies. And President Trump is really attacking the waste, the fraud, and the abuse in government. The thing that costs makes things cost so much, really one of the chief drivers of inflation, the chief driver of paperwork, of bureaucracy. He's removing the federal workforce, much of them, by buying out their contracts or whatever, doing buyouts with them. He's also, you know, just trying to cut every single budget. And, of course, the Democrats are screaming and caterwauling. It's really kind of funny to watch it. But even as we speak, President Trump has just... ordered Elon Musk to hire 45 new Doge agents, and he can choose them at his discretion. And they're going to now audit the FBI, the CIA, and the Pentagon. I just love this. I don't know if you do, but I really do love it. Well, I've asked a longtime friend of mine, Phil Kirpin, to join me today because Phil is lives in D.C. He's been part of government. No, he's on the outside of government. But he's been part of that atmosphere following all that's happening in these agencies. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of this abuse and some of the things that are happening that you might not know about, and also just an explanation of some of the things that maybe are a little bit harder to track. But first, as long as the abortion pill is legally mailed and taken in all 50 states, no state can be abortion-free. Abortion pills carry distinct risks to mothers and death to babies. And now accounts for over 60% of all abortions. Preborn's network of clinics shine a light into this darkness by offering free services to women considering the future of their baby, including the abortion reversal pill. This powerful remedy can help reverse the curse of this toxic medication. Preborn reaches into the heart of babies and mothers and with God's love and compassion. And to date, they have rescued over 300,000 babies. Your tax-deductible monthly support of any amount is crucial in the fight for life. All proceeds go toward life, and together we can reverse this horrible curse. Saving babies isn't just about one life. It's about saving the heartbeat of the entire nation. To donate, please go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, this is Sandy Rios 24/7. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. You can email us. And by the way, we're going to be doing an email show pretty soon here at sandy@afr.net. Love hearing what you have to say. And I share as many of your email as I can on the air. You can also call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can find us on social media platforms. And you can also go to sandyrios.com, listen to the show, and find out more about what we're doing. Well, today you need to get out your calculator, your pencil, and your paper as we have our first conversation with Phil Kirpin, president of American Commitment, on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Look at this crowd. Elon Musk, where are you? Bring your ass over here so you can see who's here and what we're doing. We're not afraid of you. We know that you are the co-president now of the United States of America. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to follow very closely what he's doing and how he has done it. First of all, we're here at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. What is it? This is so important. Prior to this being organized in the Dodd-Frank reforms, consumers didn't have any place to really file complaints. They didn't have anywhere to go when the biggest banks in America was ripping them off. The student loans were being undermined. They didn't have any place to go. But guess what? The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was organized in a way to deal with people who are the victims of fraud by the biggest corporations in America. And so, what do? They're holding mega banks accountable for violating the law. They're protecting service members from illegal fees, high interest loans, and false advertising, stops discrimination in housing and the U.S. economy, protects students from scams. Why does Elon Musk want to get rid of all of this? Because he's a thief. He's a gangster. He brings his billionaire friends along with him because they think that they can take over this country. And Trump has said, you give me enough money, you can have it. And that's what he has done. He has turned over our country to Elon Musk. We didn't elect him. We didn't select him. We didn't ask for him. And we don't want him.
All right. Well, you know, maybe not so much Maxine Waters, a congresswoman, 86 years old, just got reelected with her Democratic buddies. And she's saying that Elon Musk is a thief and a gangsta. And she's singing the praises of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Now, that's not all we're going to talk about today, but I think a little bit of truth sprinkled into this conversation would be a good thing. So I've asked Phil Kirpin, who's the president of American Commitment, to join us this morning. Phil understands all things numbers, and he's one of my favorite go-to people, and it's been too long since I talked to him. So, Phil, thank you for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure, Sandy. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, I don't even know where to start. I think we do have to kind of lay the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I'm sure that's something you've been watching for years, but I really didn't know too much about it. I know more about it now, but is Maxine telling the truth? I mean, it's such a great organization, Phil. It helps so many people. And so why would Russ Vought decide to cut that out?
Well, the people it principally helps are the trial lawyers who use the CFPB to file all sorts of expensive lawsuits against the banks and non-bank financial institutions and force settlements and line their own pockets. The most famous CFPB action, the one that I think she was referring to there, was the $25 billion settlement with mortgage servicers that the CFPB got. And I think 6% of that went to the victims. 6% went to the victims. The other 94% went to the lawyers. It's not a good track record. And in fact, you know, one of the big problems when you layer on just one super expensive regulation after another on a sector is the smallest businesses are the ones that go out of business because they cannot afford to comply with all the rules and regulations. And in fact, when CFPB was created, there were over 7,500 banks in this country. There are now about 4,500. So 3,000 banks have gone out of business since the CFPB was created, largely because it's the big banks that can afford to comply with all of the rules and regulations and absorb the compliance costs. But really, as I said, it's been the trial lawyers that have been the winners. And it's been a really kind of shockingly unaccountable agency. It was set up to be unaccountable. It gets its funding not from Congress, but from the Federal Reserve, so it's not subject to oversight through the annual appropriation cycle. And the one thing that Congress said they couldn't do when they passed it was they said, you cannot regulate auto dealers. You cannot regulate auto loans. That is prohibited. And that was actually an amendment that Sam Brownback put in that passed. A bunch of Democrats voted for it. And they even tried to do that. They even tried to regulate the one thing that they were by law not allowed to regulate. And they said, oh, no, we're just regulating the banks that lend through the auto dealers, and so we can do that. And that actually got overturned. But it tells you just how out of control this agency's been. And, of course, like most federal agencies, they've got a big slush fund that they put settlement money in from their lawsuits and then give it out to left-wing justice groups and all of that kind of thing. But, you know, these examples that they're giving of all these supposedly wonderful pro-consumer regulations, there's almost no benefit to actual consumers in the vast majority of these cases. It's the bureaucrats, the left-wing groups, the trial lawyers that benefit, and the smaller banks have, you know, by the thousands, gone out of business as a consequence. And that, of course, means you've got less choice, you've got less competition, and, you know, when your local bank goes out of business, you might end up with one of these mega banks. So when they say, oh, we're sticking it to Wall Street, well, the big Wall Street guys have benefited but from regulation because they can pass those costs along, and they've got huge compliance departments. So this is an agency that, in my judgment, has completely failed at all of the things that they said that it would do. And, you know, the biggest thing they said, you know, they said we've got to have more regulations because of the housing crisis, and we're going to solve the housing problem. Well, I mean, they've done nothing to improve, to improve the quality of mortgages. If anything, we've got more low-quality mortgages now than we had, you know, 10 years ago, and we could have another crisis. And so, I think this is a failed. In my judgment, this is a failed agency, and I absolutely support the Trump administration efforts to get rid of it.
Well, I was just reading about it this morning, and I honestly, this is not my area of expertise by a long shot, but I was just thinking of all the ways this really has affected people, and you touched on some of those. I want to just read a few phrases from this article I was reading. They describe them, as you did also, as a financial engine for progressive causes, structured to evade traditional checks and balances. Promoting, now, we didn't talk about this, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and ESG, environmental, social governance, and forcing banks to comply with that and financial institutions. And, you know, Phil, that really has affected people. We have, all of this, right think at our banks. And does this mean this is going to end, or we are in a period of review?
Well, it's an interesting legal question whether the president can actually close this agency. You know, all of the other stuff, all the other debates that are going on about different agencies in the federal government, they kind of need to get Congress to sign off on it because, you know, Congress controls the funding, and if Congress appropriates, then, you know, the executive branch has to spend that money. This is a unique entity, and, you know, part of the devious, arrangement that Elizabeth Warren came up with was she said, okay, what if we create an agency, but to isolate it from the normal oversight from Congress, we're going to have it get its funding from the Federal Reserve instead of from Congress. And in fact, the way they wrote the law, it gets its funding from the Federal Reserve's profits. So out of the profits that the Federal Reserve remits to the Treasury, a certain amount of it gets diverted to funding this regulatory agency. Well, the Federal Reserve doesn't run profits anymore, Sandy. They've been taking big losses now that they pay interest on reserves held at the Fed. They've been operating at a significant loss for several years now. So how can you fund an agency out of your profits when those profits don't exist. And so what a lot of lawyers have argued is the Trump administration can say there is no funding for this agency because the law says it's funded out of Federal Reserve profits, which don't currently exist. Therefore, the funding for the CFPB is zero. Therefore, it can't operate. And, you know, like anything else, it depends on which judges you draw and so forth. But they do have a pretty decent legal argument that they can do this even without Congress. But like, I would greatly prefer if all of the great things that Trump is doing right now got a seal of approval from Congress, got enacted into law. Don't risk it in the courts. We have a Republican House and Senate, and they should be able to, you know, they should be able to bless all the things that Trump is doing so that they're not subject to the vagaries of the courts.
Well, I think that's, you know, that's the goal. No question, that's the goal. We have some recalcitrant senators, as you know, but there's a lot of pressure being brought to bear on them to, stop their, whatever it is they're doing that people don't know about. There's a lot of threats to expose them for their bad associations and for their ill-gotten gain. And I think it's working, to be honest with you, Phil, behind the scenes, a lot of stuff like that. But you're right, we have to codify that. I want to ask one more question about this agency, though, because I'm curious, you know, when you take out a loan or you refinance or anything on a house or something, the, you know, it's like you have to get a job. It's like working to be able to provide all the information they request and to go through all of those forms. We've done it twice in the last few years. It's really shocking. Does that have to do with this agency?
Well, they put more regulations on that process. They issued something called the Qualified Mortgage Rule that put a whole overlay of new regulations on top of the home purchase process. And as far as I can tell, adding more papers to the stack that you have to sign when you buy a house doesn't really benefit you in any way as a home buyer. The only people who really win from this are the trial lawyers who have new basis for, you know, attempting these massive class action lawsuits against you know, banks and, you know, other financial institutions. And then what happens is you get, you know, maybe if you're a victim of some sort of deceptive practice or whatever, you get pennies and they get hundreds and thousands of dollars, the lawyers, is what happens. And so in theory, more regulation is supposed to benefit you in some way. In practice, it doesn't. It just seems to add more confusion and more inconvenience to that process.
All right, so something's come up that's kind of a theme here, because one of the first agencies, I don't know if it was the first, but one of them, because time's moving fast here, that Elon Musk and Doge went into was Treasury. And, of course, they got locked out, and the Secretary of the Treasury was prevented from going in and looking at the actual books. And then
one of the most insane judicial rulings in the history of this country, this guy Engelmeyer, who says that no political appointee, including the Secretary of the Treasury, can access Treasury payment systems, only permanent government bureaucrats. Absolutely insane.
Phil, is that the judge that they describe as having made that decision based on nothing, based on no precedent?
Well, yeah, not only was it based on no precedent, but he did it at like midnight on Friday night without even giving the Trump administration a chance to respond. So, I mean, I've never seen anything quite like that. And, you know, we've got five or six of these federal judges now that are just coming up with these wild decisions to prohibit Trump from essentially running his own executive branch of government. And I do believe they'll all be overturned on appeal. And I think that these judges are being so brazen, I guess would be a good word.
Lawless, maybe.
It's actually going to backfire on them. Like, when your legal reasoning is that weak, it's going to be overturned and you're going to be embarrassed. So I don't think these are going to be actual significant impediments, but it's a little bit crazy seeing, you know, that we get a new one every day, it seems like.
All right, so the other twist on this was that the Secretary of Treasury, his name just left me, that the one that President Trump has nominated, was told, and I heard him say that that the Federal Reserve actually controls the information for Treasury, and that the Federal Reserve is independent and no one can access what they're doing. Can you explain that? I don't understand that. I've never heard that before, ever.
Well, there's a lot of interaction between the Fed and the Treasury, but you know, the thing that was so weird about this judge's decision is he said that political appointees at Treasury could not access their own payment systems, which is separate from, you know, the Fed's accounts. So I don't, I didn't see exactly the story that you're referring to. So I'm not sure exactly what was going on there, but the Fed's accounts are, you know, that's separate from the Treasury payment system.
Well, there's certainly something rotten in Denmark. We've watched, you know, USAID, which we can get into. People are more familiar with the horrible spending, because that one was exposed by Elon Musk and his young team.
A brilliant fight to start, because there's not one American who benefits from anything that agency does.
Not according to them. According to them, they do some really good things. I don't know how you can say that, Phil.
Yeah, okay.
No, I know. I mean, it's just, it's really ridiculous. I have another list of their malfeasance, and really, truly, it sounds like a mirror of this Consumer Protection Agency, where it's a slush fund for leftist causes, and not much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, USAID is the woke of the woke, the hard left, you know, they're basically using our money to promote crazy left-wing ideology literally all over the world. And, you know, but also some of the spending just happens to be, you know, for domestic left-wing groups and, you know, media outlets and all this kind of stuff. I think it's almost impossible to defend. And, you know, this is the value of what Musk is doing. I mean, so much of this stuff, you shine a spotlight on it and it speaks for itself, right? And, you know, it's interesting. They're trying to, you know, I looked into the legal background in USAID because it was created by an executive order under President Kennedy in 1961. Congress didn't recognize it as an agency until 37 years later in 1998, and they recognized it in a bill written by Jesse Helms that was trying to get rid of it. So the first time they recognized that the agency exists was in a bill that told President Clinton to either eliminate it or to, like, reform it and justify it. And, of course, because it was Clinton, he kept it. He didn't eliminate it, even though that was the intention of the bill. But now they're trying to say, well, you know, Congress admitted it exists in 1998, so now we can never get rid of it. And it's like, it makes your head spin. You're trying to say that a Jesse Helms bill to eliminate this agency is the reason that Trump can't eliminate the agency.
That's what they're saying?
It's pretty
okay, just go.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Well, people don't even know who Jesse Helms is anymore, but he was a strong, strong conservative congressman, a real fighter for all kinds of things.
Can you imagine if he were still alive for the, what they're saying?
No, I can't. No. Nope, I can't imagine. I want to remind people, just for a second, the things that are making headlines on USAID are things that people have heard at least a smattering of. $1.5 million to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in Serbia's workplaces and business communities. $70,000 for a production of a DEI musical in Ireland. $2.5 million, I hadn't seen this one, for electric vehicles for Vietnam. $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia. $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. And I'll skip to this one. Hundreds of thousands of meals that went to Al-Qaeda-affiliated fighters in Syria. And, of course, it goes on and on. But you know what? Those are pennies on the dollar, Phil. And I think if you were to speak more broadly or more deeply, what was and is USAID doing with their money? What's the terrible thing they're doing with it?
Well, I mean, they're promoting hard left, you know, woke ideology all over the world. And, you know, they're supposedly doing this to expand U.S. influence globally, but, you know, they're actually sort of disgracing the U.S. when they go into these countries and do the things like you're mentioning. I guarantee you the people in those countries do not want, you know, promotion of this nutty transgender, this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, but, you know, when you start saying to all these countries the way you get money, the way you unlock billions of dollars from the United States and from, you know, the various international organizations is to move hard left, they do it. They do it to keep the money flowing. And so it is essentially the mechanism that transmits, you know, the insane left-wing ideological pathologies of the U.S. left into global circulation.
I also heard that, you know, a lot of these NGOs at the UN and some of these charity groups working with illegal immigrants, and even the big, like Soros and others, other leftist billionaires, that somehow they've got their finger in the pie too. I also read Samantha Power, who's the head of USAID, is now, she makes $180,000 a year, just to put it in perspective. And her net worth, since she has taken over the head of being USAID, has moved from $6.7 million to $30 million. She's now worth $30 million. And I just think that's that seems to be a universal trend in Washington for people. They all get rich. Even Republicans do that too, Phil, as you know. Not all of them, but they're just, it's too many people are on the take. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As abortion continues to rise, Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy, that's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
While he is collecting all of the data, he has violated our privacy. He has violated our privacy, and he keeps going. Well, you know, we fought him over at Treasury. Remember, he took his little gangsters in, and they stole our private information. And we organized in the way that we're doing today. He was surprised as hell. He didn't know that we would come together in the way that we're doing. USAID, he went in there. Why did he go? It is my understanding he was already under investigation by you. And so he went in there to steal all of the records, to get all of the data. But guess what? It's something bigger going on with him and Trump.
Yes, I guess so. Maxine Waters has such a way with words. You know, she's so elegant. Just and also she has a way with truth. Well, maybe away with lies. I mean, it's just amazing to hear her talk. They went in and stole our money, you know, took our privacy. Really? Okay, so Maxine is, you know, not one of my favorite people. But nevertheless, I want to kind of give you a little bit of, I want to give you a snapshot of someone that's in the middle of all of this that's actually at the heart of cutting these agencies. His name is Russ Vaught. And I mentioned him to you, I think, last week because Russ was going through confirmation. He just got confirmed less than a week ago. And he was barely, I want to say it was like 6-vote spread, something like that. But Russ was the director of the Office of Management and Budget under the first term of President Trump. I know that agency is kind of obscure to people, but it really is like the nerve center of all the funding. It's it controls and oversees what happens in all of the agencies with their budget. And so when Russ was there the first time, you heard Phil say that President Trump ordered them to cut, I think, one regulation for every new regulation they put in, something like that. Well, it was Russ who did that. He orchestrated that. He has a brilliant mind. And Russ is, by the way, a graduate of Wheaton College. He's a real strong believer. And that was part of why they just hate him. They hate him because he's so good at what he does. So he's in there. He's surrounded himself by some really fine people that I also know. And this is his first tweet that I, as far as I know, it is pursuant to the Consumer Financial Protection Act. I have notified the Federal Reserve that CFPB will not be taking its next draw of unappropriated funding because it is not reasonably necessary to carry out its duties. The Bureau's current balance of $711.6 million is, in fact, excessive in the current fiscal environment. This spigot, long contributing to CFPB's unaccountability, is now being turned off. So that's what Russ is doing. And I'm telling you, people in D.C. are just thrilled, people that really are serious about us getting our $34 trillion debt back in control. But here's a little sidebar that I wanted to tell you. This is makes me sad, actually. But some of you may know that I raised my children in Wheaton, Illinois. And my son actually went to Wheaton College. I sang at the dedication of the Billy Graham Center at Wheaton College a number of years ago. I spoke there, sang there, just so many of my friends and in the community. Wheaton College has been a really sterling place to be very proud of. Billy Graham graduated from Wheaton College. Wheaton College traces its beginnings back to the Underground Railroad and was founded by a couple of brothers that were abolitionists. So it's just a real sterling history and a proud history. And when George W. Bush was president, there were a lot of Wheaton college grads working in his administration. One of them was his chief speechwriter. And so Wheaton has a lot to be proud of for a lot of reasons. But this is what happened with Russ. And you might know that Wheaton has really taken a turn to the left. I sadly tell you, it started a long time ago. I was still on radio in Chicago, and they started using Bill Ayers' textbooks and information to teach their education students. That was one of the first things. And then Jim Wallace, who is a so-called pastor, but we know now was funded by George Soros, actually was the first time I saw Wheaton start to get into some really gray, murky areas. Jim would come in and speak, and it was on the issue of homosexuality. And, of course, he had this really sweet, winsome message that was not biblical. But they fell for it. They embraced Jim. And we found out later again that he was actually being funded by George Soros. It's that rent and evangelical thing that we have talked about. We talked recently about that book by Megan Basham, where she talks about that. That's the plan, was to co-opt the evangelical church. All that to say Wheaton has been co-opted. They have. It's just very, very sad. I'm not saying everyone there is bad. I'm not, but boy, a lot of bad stuff is happening there. And I'll give you an example in our final moments here. I'm reading this from PJ Media. Wheaton College has been one of the premier Christian educational institutions in the country for many years. Its list of alumni includes influential preachers and pastors like Billy Graham and John Piper, famous missionaries like Jim and Elizabeth Elliot, and Todd Beamer of Flight 93 fame. The school even named its student center in Beamer's memory. Another notable alumnus is Russell Vaught, whom the Senate confirmed last week as the Director of Office and Management, Office of Management and Budget. It's an important and prestigious position, and Wheaton was right to congratulate him on his position in a social media post on Friday. And so it basically they congratulate him and pray for him, 1998 graduate Russell Vaught, to serve as the White House Director of Management and Budget. But then it fell apart, and it fell apart because people started complaining. How could you take a political stand? Russ Vaught is a graduate of Wheaton, and they would not even allow that tweet with a congratulations to be posted. So there's nothing. They just came out with a public statement, and they said, on Friday, Wheaton College posted a congratulations and a call to prayer for an alumnus who received confirmation to a White House post. The recognition and prayer is something we would typically do for any graduate who reached the level of government. However, The political situation surrounding the appointment led to a significant concern expressed online. It was not our intention to embroil the college in a political discussion or dispute. Our institutional and theological commitments are clear that the college, as a nonprofit institution, does not make political endorsements. Wheaton College's focus is on Christ and his kingdom. Oh, and on Jim Wallis and, a moderated view of LGBTQ, a moderated view of Islam. They hired a Muslim a teacher, and that was a huge conflict because, she wasn't really a believer in Christ. At least she was a confused one. And so it went on like that. They're using Bill Ayers, the communist member of, he wrote Prairie Fire. He was part of the Weather Underground. They're using his materials to train their teachers. But they're not political. Keep in mind, they're not political. Well, first of all, to congratulate Russ Vaught is not being political. This is an individual who graduated from Wheaton, and he got posted or selected for a post in a White House under a president. It doesn't matter what president. And so it's just weakness. It's pretty disgusting. And actually, Wheaton, of course, didn't make endorsements. I don't blame them for that during last year's election season. However, it held an event featuring anti-Trump speakers. The event was, they hosted the creators of the After Party. That's the group that's, trying to make homosexuality more warm and fuzzy and friendly to Christians. They also had a Never Trumper, David French. Russell Moore, one of my favorites to talk about, the Southern Baptist apostate. Yeah. And then Curtis Chang. So those are the people they're entertaining these days, but they can't congratulate Russ Moore because, they're not political. It makes me very sad. And that has to stop. We have I talked with in a prayer podcast this week with Match Lab about lines being drawn in the sand, truth being reestablished. And so the confusion that's taking place at these so-called elite higher learning institutions is breathtaking, jaw-dropping. We have to bring clarity to our kids if we're going to send them there, to the administration, to the professors. We have to be bold and reinstate, help them to understand what it really does mean to serve Christ and his kingdom. Well, that's the end of my tirade today. I hope you enjoyed that time with Phil. I want to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan, because they show you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.